Thanks for tuning into the podcast, a space to let your guard down, be encouraged, and at times even be challenged. Here, we examine the Word of God and have deep conversations leading to deeper relationships, changed perspectives, and a deeper intimacy with Christ. What then say you? Hey, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whatever time it is that you are tuning into the podcast. What a wonderful day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. I know we are a day late, but we are not a dollar short. Today, it was just kind of heavy on my spirit, something that I think needs to be said more often. Of course, my wife and I, we had a nice long conversation about this one, but simply put, you know, we've gotten too accustomed to the additives in our world, in our society, mainly speaking towards, you know, obviously those of us in America. And no, this isn't a podcast about food and your diet and GMOs, though all those things would be applicable. Let's just talk about the additives when it comes to living out our life in Christ, the additives that are included in the mixture to ensure that we enjoy it, you know. And our culture kind of has cultivated this thought process that's associated with the additives, right? Like, it needs to taste good, it needs to feel good. We just don't eat cabbage raw, you know, to the point that there's a whole diets out there where it's just like, no, I only eat raw things, right? Raw vegetables, no additives, no preservatives, no GMOs. And because we realize, or at least some of us have realized, that, you know, some of this stuff that we're putting in our bodies, just because we want it to taste better or to taste good, is actually the thing that's killing us. And likewise, in the body of Christ, likewise, in our churches, in our congregations, in whoever podcast that you're listening to, we're doing the same thing. We're adding in, right, to ensure that the user, the end user, the parishioner, the person listening is enjoying, is entertained. And it is not too hard that we can't digest it. And that leads me right into the scripture. We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. It says, well, Paul was saying in this epistle that, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power." Now, just marinate on that for a second. Unless the power of the cross, the power of everything that Christ did, be emptied of its power, with the eloquence of speech, the wisdom of the world, you got to understand, y'all, like, when you go to church, it's a whole production, okay? It's lights, it's cameras, it's seating, you know, even the seating, you know, pews. There was a study that pews made people feel too rigid, so we should add some more cushioning to the chairs, and, you know, we need pads. If you've ever attended a Catholic service, of all places, where when you fold it down so you can get on your knees, like, that is soft and comfortable, and that the lighting, there's studies on lighting, it can't be too bright, it can't be too dark, you know, and when the pastor gets up, the colors that are in the backdrop, you know, or whatever the choir is saying about, all these things are meticulously thought out, prepared, and planned ahead so that you and I have an amazing experience when we attend our church service, right? There's a whole ministry team that is set up behind the scenes, working the cameras, working the lights, working the music, working the sound, so that we can have an enjoyable experience. And so now, if you think of it from that angle, all of that was set up so that we could be welcomed, warm and comfortable, feeling like a family unit. And then the pastor comes out, he or she or they get out there, and then they deliver a word that's intended to change who you are. They deliver a word that, in all intents and purposes, is counterculture to our entire society and the way we live. They're living and they're delivering a word from God's word, a sermon that was prepared in weeks in advance to be able to have you change. But first, we had to make you comfortable with where you are. Are you following where I'm going with this? First, we had to make you comfortable and feel like this is a safe space to receive the love of God that is going to require a change in my life. How do those two things reconcile? The hard truth is that they don't most of the time. The hard truth is that, you know, the personalities of myself and other pastors out there, you know, when we deliver a word, we have our own isms, right? We have our jokes that we throw in, our little catchphrases, or, you know, we do things to make you feel like this message isn't directed towards you, right? Because we don't want to be on the other end of the spectrum. We don't want to be on the end of the spectrum that says, hey, if you're a sinner, you're going to hell, man. You need to repent because there's fire and brimstone awaiting for you. And it's an eternity of suffering and gnashing of teeth. And let me tell you how bad your sin is, right? And so we don't want to be on that spectrum because we realize that we're still growing, that we as believers in general and those that are specifically called to teach the word are still growing in their own relationship with Christ. So we can't come too hard at you without equally coming hard on ourselves. But I challenge you this, and I challenge, though, if you're a pastor, if you're just a person that's listening, if you're just a believer in Christ, I challenge us all with this thought process. The word, the gospel message, is offensive in and of itself because it is causing us to change. It is causing us to put down the things of this world and pick up our cross and pick up the things that Christ has proclaimed for us to live out. And so knowing that the gospel is offensive in its own right, we can't sugarcoat the word. Even that thought process, even that phrasing and that terminology, sugarcoat, right? You have to sugarcoat something to make it more palatable to receive. And so if I'm telling you that, hey, sin is the equivalent of death, right? And that sin, if you live in sin, if you do not obey God, if you don't live in his precepts, then you are destined for eternity apart from him. And that is also known as hell, shoal, whatever you want to call it, is not a good spot, right? And so in order to sugarcoat that, I can say, well, you know, we're all sinners, and it's on God's time that you're going to learn to love the Lord. It's on God's time, you know, and so that doesn't really cause a move, right? And because we try to pacify the parishioner, and because society continues to pacify everyone, I mean, it's politically incorrect for me to say that you're obese, to say that, hey, you probably should go take a couple of laps. You should probably do some push-ups. Like, people don't say you should work out and lose some weight because now that's body shaming, right? It's body shaming to say you are unhealthy. It's body shaming to point out facts that's regarding to your physical appearance and your inner appearance as far as your health is concerned is body shaming. See, the enemy has done a very, very good job at a couple of things, especially in our culture today. We take everything that's bad, and then eventually we just massage enough sugar on it. We massage enough rules and regulations and sensitivities on it that we can no longer speak the truth. We have to beat around the bush and hope that you caught what I was trying to say. Instead of saying, hey, you're obese, or hey, you should probably work out. And I'm telling you this from a place of love. In order for you to receive it, though, it has to come off like, hey, you know, I'm about to go to the gym. You want to come with me? Or, nah, that might be still too aggressive in today's society. Hey, man, you know, I saw this workout, man, and I'm going to try it. You know what I'm saying? It's January 1st, New Year's resolution. You want to hop on with me? Like, we got to try to, like, convince and use the wisdom of this world, i.e. how to strategically say a thing in order to get somebody to want to join in with us in order to tell them that they should be healthy. It takes a doctor saying you got cancer, you should probably quit smoking. It takes a doctor to say you got diabetes, you should probably lay off the sugar. And likewise, in the body of Christ, as we are all called to be ambassadors to the kingdom of heaven, we're taking the world's wisdom and the world's approaches with how to convince people to trust in God. How to convince people that, hey, the life that you're leading, the life that you're living is not conducive to the word of God. Hey, you should probably take that cross off while being at the strip club. I'm just saying, like, you, the things that you're doing don't align with the faith that you proclaim. And yes, our culture, our society makes that very difficult to understand, because in our dollar bills we have "In God We Trust." Every president, like I've said before, it says "God Bless America." Heck, we got a National Prayer Day coming up, you know, and I work in the government, and so They send out the mass email like, hey, you know, on this day we're going to pray. It doesn't matter what religion you are, you know, but come and express your faith. And we're just letting you know, you don't have to pray at all either. Like, this isn't a call to say you got to pray. But, you know, because we're in the government, we're just acknowledging that a National Prayer Day exists. Pick a side, people. Like, which one is it? Are we praying to God? Are we praying to Allah? Are we saying that we're going to have a congregation with people that believe in God, Allah, Buddha, and the trees in behind me? All of us are going to be praying together to the same what? It goes back to that same principle, in God. What God? Which God are we specifically talking about? And because people don't want to call it what it is, and we want to sugarcoat it, all is invited. All is welcome. All sin, you know what? Take your time with it. You know, God loves you just as you are. And it's so out of context. It's so filled with the additives of being accepted. It's so filled with the additives of being well received and well liked and so on and so forth that it loses, as Paul said, it takes the power away from what was done on the cross. When you present a gospel message that's lukewarm at best. When you present a gospel message that's watered down and not pure and just has all these other things that until a person has to search and read between the lines, we should not have to read between the lines when it comes to the gospel of Christ. We shouldn't have to try to figure out, is God really telling me that I should quit pornography? Is God really telling me that I should not cheat on my wife? We shouldn't have to read between the lines because it's in black and white. Let the Spirit teach everything else. But if you are going to a service and you're going to see your pastor speak, or you're doing your obligatory Sunday service or Saturday service or whatever that is, and you show up and you got to read between the lines to figure out, was he saying I need to go to the altar or nah? Like, was that for me? No, it couldn't have been for me because he said specifically that he wasn't talking to me. He was just speaking in general. We got to get out of this place where we've accepted societal standards as a way of balance. And those are not, that balance is not steady. That balance is not applicable to the things of God, right? And what I mean by that is that society says that is the appropriate approach that we need to take when trying to encourage people, when trying to inspire and trying to motivate, that we don't use these phrases, we don't use these words that make people feel uncomfortable. We don't want anyone to feel uncomfortable. We want everyone to feel safe and loved and happy and secure and protected. That's what America wants for its citizens, right? And so as we look into that, no matter what it is that you're doing, we cannot make you feel uncomfortable. That's the status quo of today. But what Christ did, he made a lot of people feel uncomfortable. He told the Pharisees to them, to their faces, like, hey, my house was supposed to be a house of prayer and you made it a den of thieves. That would be politically incorrect today to tell that to a mega pastor who has all this lavishness in his congregation's establishment and nobody even prays in that building. It's politically incorrect to say that this place is a den of thieves. It's politically incorrect to say that, you know, sin is sin and that obedience is required. Righteousness is required. So again, we have to take the aspect of political correctness and throw it out the window. We're talking about the gospel of Christ. And understand this, it's still loving to speak the truth. At what point in our life has that gone away? How does speaking the truth not equate to love? I would so rather my wife say, hey Keith, you looking a little healthy and not in a good way. You probably want to take some laps. She's told me. She said, hey, we said we was going to make an agreement. And when we first got married that, you know, we'd always be honest with each other. And I'd be lying to you if I told you that you need to go run. You need to do some push-ups. You need to quit eating so much popcorn. You need to quit all this stuff. That's loving me. Because ultimately, my health actually matters to my family. If she did not come at me in a blunt and direct way and just beat around the bush like, hey, I'm doing Sean T, I'm doing T25, I'm working out, you want to join? If she beat around the bush, you're giving me options. We got to stop giving each other options as believers in Christ. We can't say you have the option to continue and not be accountable for your actions. We can't say that you have the option to continue to live a life out that is not pleasing to the Lord. Those options are gone. We're supposed to be, behold, all things are new. We are a new creature. Yet we're tippy-toeing around and we're just trying to figure it all out and saying, hey, I got tomorrow. I got the next day. And so am I saying, it's some bird out there somewhere, but am I saying that we have to go to the other extreme? No, I'm not saying that the other extreme is equally warranted. Am I saying that we need to be out here and, as the old adage goes, being Bible thumpers and walking around and slapping people with crosses and saying, hey, you're going to hell in a handbag if you don't stop your life? No, but what I am saying is that we do have to get to a place to where we understand that the gospel message is non-negotiable, and that though the truth may be offensive, though the truth may hurt, though it may sting, it's still the truth. And after I tell you the truth, I'm still gonna love you. After I tell you the truth, I'm gonna be there and be an accountability partner to you. After I tell you the truth, I'm gonna give you steps and ways, and I'm gonna pray with you and encourage you along your way. But if I do it any other way, if I give you this message void of this full truth in its entirety, then the cross has lost its power. There's no power in my words. I'm no different than the sons of Sceva at that point. Paul I know, Jesus I know, but I don't know you. That's what that ultimately does. And the enemy loves it when you don't give the full truth and nothing but. I mean, we've made a mockery of that even in our court systems, y'all. Like, think about that. Do I solemnly swear to say the whole truth, nothing but the truth? But yet we see every single time people still get up on that stand and lie. Like, truth is played out. Truth is no longer a thing that our culture cares about. We just care about the convenient story. We care about the convenient truth that makes everybody comfortable, right? I mean, you can see it in so many different things. You can see it from this Palestine-Israel conflict and, you know, oh, it's such a horrendous thing that war is violent, you know, and we see all these students protesting at colleges and, oh, Israel's killing all these kids and stuff like that. And yeah, that happens in war. War, there's casualties in war. There's byproducts of war, you know, but yet we forget that when 9/11 took place in our own homeland, we went to a whole country that was not even involved, Iraq, literally put their whole government on baseball playing cards and executed them all, and then left the country with no government, and then stayed in Afghanistan for 20-something years. Like, 3,000 people died in 9/11. We spent 25 years in war in several places. Whole bunch of places, but nobody was protesting the innocent lives of citizens, or hey, why are we in Iraq for real? Like, what are we doing? But yet today, as we've evolved, oh man, this is a travesty. War is bad. And I agree, war is bad, but it's a part of this world that we're in, because sin is in this world, and that is a truth. And that is a truth that nobody wants to hear. Nobody wants to hear the fact that human beings, this race, is full of evil and wicked people who have agendas, who will do bad things, who will drop bombs, who will launch rockets, who will steal and kill. And that sounds a lot like Satan's attributes. He's here to steal, kill, and destroy all that God has worked in us. That's his goal, and he's accomplishing it. And we've forgotten that truth because it's not preached about. How many people are praying for Israel in their churches right now? You know, it goes back to even Ukraine and Russia, right? Like, it's like, how long can I keep your attention? It makes me think back to the YouTube stream count, right? Like, and when you look at the metrics and stuff, it says, oh, your audience retained, you know, their interest in this topic for, you know, 15 seconds of the 30-second video. Or they retain interest for about 8 minutes of whatever it was that you were talking about over the 30 minutes that you did your podcast. Okay, cool. Likewise, our whole culture is the same way. Ukraine only mattered until it didn't have a catchy headline, until it wasn't like some conspiracy with Russia and the Kremlin and so on and so forth. Israel and Palestine right now, I'm telling you, it's going to peak and then it's going to go back down. Black lives only mattered for so long. You know, think about everything that happens in our country. It's all about the headlines. And that's just to detract us and distract us from the things that God wants us to really pay attention to, which is truth. There's evil in the world. These things will come. These things will happen. There will be rumors of wars and wars. Obedience is required. You should be set apart. We should be set apart. We are ambassadors in Christ. Like, these are the truths that we stand firm in. But yet we expect that the world is going to fix itself. We expect to be comforted when we go to church, to feel good about our current circumstance, but we don't even understand what persecution looks like. I'm just saying, y'all, it's a lot. And we can no longer keep up with this idea of, I'm just going to put a little bit more comfort on this message that I got to deliver today. I'm just going to, I need to let this person know that though this is their 19th altar call in 3 weeks, that, you know, the real issue is that they don't really believe or trust in Christ. And instead of loving, you know, it ties really back to the central point of love holistically, right? As pastors, as leaders, as teachers, as brothers and sisters to one another, that is true love. True love for one another is to give them the unfiltered truth and then be there as they go through withdrawals. Because when you take that pill of truth, when you take the gospel message and you swallow that, things are going to come off of you, right? You're going to have some withdrawals of your flesh because the gospel and your flesh don't mix. And so when you receive the real word of God, when you receive the truth, when you read that word for yourself in an unfiltered stance, in an unfiltered posture before the Lord, some things are going to, it's going to have some byproducts. You might feel some type of way. You might be like, oh man, I got to give that up. But I don't understand that God has something so much better in store for me later on. All these things are part of the love factor that has to happen after the truth is revealed. It's not a spectrum of full of grace and an abundant grace and then just full of wrath. You have to meet in the middle, but you can't include all the worldly dynamics that creates the comfortable setting in which we receive it. It has to be real. Let's keep it real, people. We got to be able to speak this truth boldly, unashamed, and without fear. Without fear of losing friends, without fear of people not understanding, without fear of people saying that is politically incorrect. Yes, I represent Jesus Christ, Yahshua the Messiah, every day, everywhere that I go, and I'm unashamed about it. And then I do a really, really hard effort of ensuring that my speech matches that same belief. I rely heavily on the Holy Spirit to guide me throughout my day to ensure that I'm staying in step with him. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less required. It's not a lot. So, with all that, I really do pray that you guys start to focus in on that. Evaluate your circumstances, evaluate your surroundings, take a look around and say, God, is this where I need to be? Is this a conversation that I need to have to kind of go back to speaking the truth? Don't let me sugarcoat the things that don't need to be sugarcoated. We got enough GMOs in this world. I don't need any more GMOs in the Word of God. I don't need any additives in my Sunday service. I don't care if it's a pew, if it's a basement, if it's somebody's backyard. Like, I don't care if there's no lights and no mics and no impressive choir or band or pianist or drummer. I just need you. I just need the word, and I need that word to pierce my heart so that it can produce a change. It can prune that fruit that you want to see grow in triple fold versus what it is now, because that's what the word of God is designed to do in all of us. I hope and I pray that you guys have a blessed rest of your week. Until next time.